And just encourage them, which is exactly what we're going to talk about today. I want you to turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to continue our series in Philippians, finding joy right where you are. Now, I don't know if we believe this every day, but it's true. No matter what our circumstances are, God intends to give us joy in those circumstances. We have a tendency to feel like, well, if it's not going well, I should just feel bad about everything. And that's naturally what we do. We just, if it's not going well, if you're a Cowboy fan this year, it's hard to have joy right now. I mean, last Sunday afternoon, we were so close, fellas. I'm not lying to you. It was so close. It was the Steelers too. But it didn't happen. All right. So as a matter of fact, I just turned it off before we ended so I could keep what little bit of joy I had. All right. Now look. When negative circumstances come my way, when negative circumstances come your way, we get to choose joy and peace or the opposite, fear and anxiety and worry and all that goes along with that side of it. God wants you and me to have joy in this. Now, he takes this passage we're going to look at today. It's about 11 or 12 verses. He takes this passage to show us that this joy thing is very, very practical. It has faces and names. God wants us to interact with other people. We are not supposed to do this alone. If you're trying to do life alone, you're doing it wrong, all right? You can't separate yourself. I heard somebody say, I've been practicing for the pandemic my whole life. I'm so happy to be away from people for a little while, all right? We get that. There are times when you just need to pull aside and you just need to rejuvenate and just refresh, all right? But as a rule, we can't just leave people out. We've got to have people. God created us to need other people, all right? Now, the problem happens when we have to learn to get along with those people, all right? If you are married more than 10 minutes, you get it. There are moments when you go, why do we do this? All right. And then you go, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. We love each other and there's joy here and there's peace here. And you start to grow in that joy. And that's the way it is in every relationship. There are moments when you have to get beyond difficulties because every relationship has difficulties. All right. No matter who you are and what the relationship, every one of those has difficulties. So sometimes instead of engaging those relationships, we pull away from them. And then we lose the opportunity for joy in those relationships. So the second chapter of Philippians, we're going to look at verse 19 through 30, I think. It says this, if the Lord Jesus is willing, I hope to send Timothy to you soon for a visit. Remember the name Timothy. Then he can cheer me up by telling me how you're getting along. And I have no one else like Timothy who genuinely cares about your welfare. All the others care only for themselves and not for what matters to Jesus Christ. Verse 22 says, but you know how Timothy has proved himself. Like a son with his father, he has served with me in preaching the good news. I hope to send him to you just as soon as I find out what is going to happen to me here. And I have confidence from the Lord that I myself will come to you soon. So Paul says in the first part of this passage, I'm sending Timothy. I want to send Timothy to you. He's like my son in the faith. He has been faithful in preaching the gospel. He cares about people. He's the best is what he's really saying. So that's Timothy. And then in the second half of this passage, we go to verse 25. He's talking about somebody different. He's talking about another young man. He says, meanwhile, I thought I should send Epaphroditus back to you. Now remember, he said, Timothy, I'm going to send to you, and then Timothy will come back and tell me how you're doing. Epaphroditus came from Philippi, where Paul is writing this letter to, and now he said, I'm going to send him back to you to stay, all right? So he said, I thought I should send Epaphroditus back to you. He's a true brother, a co-worker, a fellow soldier. He was your messenger to help me in my need. I'm sending him because he has been longing to see you and he was very distressed that you heard he was ill. And he certainly was ill. In fact, he almost died, but God had mercy on him and also on me so that I would not have one sorrow after another. Verse 28. So I am all the more anxious to send him back to you, for I know you'll be glad to see him, and then I will not be so worried about you. Welcome him in the Lord's love and with great joy, and give him the honor that people like him deserve. For he risked his life for the work of Christ, and he was at the point of death while doing for me what you couldn't do from far away. So we got these two young men. Paul says, Timothy, I'm going to send him to you. He'll come back and tell me all about what's happened. Now, Timothy had a Jewish mother and had a Greek father. So he was multi-ethnic, right? So his mother and his grandmother were both strong believers in Christ. And early on in his life, Timothy gives his life to Christ. He starts to walk with Christ. At some point, he comes into contact with the Apostle Paul. And Paul says, because of his integrity and because of his effectiveness and his work ethic, Paul says, I want you to go with me. He goes with him. They start planting churches and preaching the gospel all over the place. And Paul sends him here to take care of this group of people and over there to take care of another group of people. And he loved Timothy. He could trust him because of his relationship with God, but he could trust him because of his character. And then you've got Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus, his name has pagan origins, anti-Christian origins. And yet he has given his heart to Christ, and Paul says, I receive him as a brother in Christ. And you sent him to me with a gift, a care package, some money, because you knew I was in jail and I didn't have any way to make a living. You sent that to me and by his help. And while he was here, he got sick. And he has been living for Christ. He has been working for Christ. And he almost died because he's working for Christ. He said, I'm going to send him back to you. Both of these young men in Paul's life were given responsibility to do things for Christ. They were given authority to do things for Christ. They were trusted. But along the way, not only were they given responsibility, they were given encouragement. Paul says, look, Timothy's the best one I got. He loves you, and he just wants to do the right thing. He is always thinking about his fellow man. Epaphroditus, he said, you need to honor him because people like him deserve to be honored. They were encouraged by Paul along the way. Now, here's what I love about this story. Timothy starts off as a young man serving Christ as a father and son in the Lord, and he later becomes the bishop of Ephesus. He later is responsible for shepherding and taking care of all the believers around and in the city of Ephesus. He started out as just a young man with no responsibility and nowhere to go. And God used him and raised him up to level of bishop in the New Testament. At the same time, Epaphroditus, same thing, he comes from this pagan background. He gives his heart to Christ and he becomes the bishop of Philippi. Exactly the city where Paul is writing to in the book of Philippians. So both of these young men were given responsibilities, and along the way, Paul encouraged them, built them up, lifted them up, and God blessed them and used them in great, great ways. We're talking about them 2,000 years later. God did some great stuff in their lives, but they needed someone in their life to encourage them. We all need somebody to encourage us along the way. We all need somebody to give us an attaboy. But it's got to be real. It can't be fake. Paul didn't just make up some stuff in the book of Philippi. Can you imagine as Timothy and Epaphroditus hear about what Paul had once written to the church at Philippi, and they're like, oh, please don't write all that good stuff about us. We're just regular people. But inside they're beaming because the Apostle Paul is the leader of the Christian church, and he's saying good things about them. They feel invigorated. They feel like a rocket with jet fuel now. They're not just a pile of metal. They've been given the fuel to make this thing fly. They are built up and God can use them. Romans chapter 12 says this, verse 6. In his grace, in other words, it's undeserved, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. Everybody in the room, by God's grace, not because we earned it, deserved it, or figured it out, but just because of God's grace, he has given every one of us different gifts to do certain things well, all right? Now, he starts to list a few of the things. It's not an exhaustive list. It's just a very short list of things. He says this, so if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. Okay, he said, if you got the gift of prophecy, prophesy. He said, if your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. Watch what verse 8 says. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. So there are some of us in this room right now who just have the gift to encourage people. Other people just want to be around you because you are encouraging. When they see your name on their phone, they're like, I'm answering this because this is going to feel good. I'm going to feel like $1 million when this person gets through talking to me. That's a person who has the gift of encouragement. Now we all know those people in our life. We also know the people who have the gift of discouragement. We're not going to talk about that one, okay? All right. Now, some of us in this room and watching online have the gift to encourage. It just comes natural. It just flows. You just naturally see in other people these great gifts they have, these great things that are going on, and you just encourage them. But then there's the rest of us that don't have the gift of encouragement. Does that let us off the hook? I don't have to be an encourager. Whoo, close one. I'm not encouraging anybody today because that's not my gift. No, that is not what God says. God wants every one of us. Hebrews 3:13 says this, but encourage one another daily. It's an everyday thing. Encourage one another. So for those of us that find it more difficult to encourage people, I'm going to give you 12 things. I'm going to preach you a 12-point sermon very, very quickly right now, all right? So here it goes. If you have a little more trouble knowing how to encourage people in your life, remember Paul encouraged Timothy and Epaphroditus, and both of them grew to be men of God that made an impact. There are people in your life right now that will grow to be men and women of God even stronger than they are now if they get the encouragement they need from those of us around them, all right? It's our responsibility. So 12 things we can do, all right? Here we go. First one is this: listen to understand, not to respond. All right, it's a big one. It's a big one. If I am listening to your story and I'm going, I can't wait till he stops and I'm going to tell my story, I am not listening to you. I'm just preparing to respond, all right? I remember somebody told me years ago, they said, I met Tony Dorsett, the great Dallas Cowboy player. I met Tony Dorsett in a grocery store and got to talk to him for a few minutes. They were so excited. This was probably 20 years ago. They were so excited. And before I even thought about it, I went, yeah, I met Tony Dorsett, got to hang out with him. We got a friend of a friend, and I got to say hello, and he called me on the phone. It was so great. And when I finished telling my story, he went, thanks a lot, bro. And I went, man, I'm so sorry. I was listening so that I could respond, not listening so I could understand. If I want to encourage somebody, I got to listen so I can understand where they're coming from. Here's number two. When you see someone making positive changes in their life, cheer them on. When you see them make it, but you say, well, it's not much of a change. If it's a change at all, cheer them on. Tell them something that is encouraging. Lift them up somehow. Don't just say, well, that's what they ought to be doing. We have a tendency. The very responsible people in the room find it really hard to encourage somebody who makes baby steps in their life. We need to get over that arrogance, and we need to start encouraging the people in our lives, even when it's just baby steps, all right? If somebody is used to wasting all their money and they got $5 left over at the end of the month, you give high fives and do a dance, all right? It's just encouraging. Because next month, it might be $10. And next month, it might be $20. All right, here's number three. Just be there. Understand the power of presence. Just being there. Sometimes, you don't have to have the right words to say. As a matter of fact, I've learned the hard way. Sometimes, you just need to shut up and be present. You just need to be there with them in a hard time, in a low moment. Here's number four. Be specific when you offer words of praise. This is a big one, too. Be specific when you offer words of praise. Don't just high-five somebody and say, you're awesome, man. What does that mean? You're great. No. Take a minute and say, man, you do such a great job with, and give them a specific. You always show up prepared. Man, I love it that you're always reaching out to other people. I love it that you do your job with passion. I love it that you're a team player. Give them a specific. Because if you just tell somebody they're great, they go, whatever, you're trying to sell me something now. All right? Now I need to know something very specific. So let's be specific when we encourage. All right? Here's number five. Let people know that you're praying for them. Just let people know you're praying for them. Give them, send a text. Give them a call. Just shake their hand on the way out. Whatever. Just let them know you're praying for, which lead, for them. Now, this leads us to number six. And then actually pray for them. All right. Don't just tell them you're praying for them. Pray for them. All right. Don't lie to them just to make them feel good. Actually pray for them. Here's number seven. Send a note. Anybody remember what an ink pen was? Remember it was an ink pen? This is long. You had to use paper. Paper came from trees a long time ago. We all get it. Digital stuff. Man. We can text and email and we can connect in a million different social media apps. And we are all connected and it's fast, but it's kind of cheap sometimes. I forget that I even encourage them. Sometimes it's important. Now, that's good stuff. I think we ought to be doing all that. But sometimes if we just sit down with a note card and just write it down, I appreciate you because, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And actually drive to the post office. You'll have to Google it. They have one in every city, all right? And we just drop the note in the mail. Years ago, I went to someone's house, and up on the mantle was a note. Just a hey, it was glad to meet you or see you last week. That I had sent them the previous week, and it was on their mantle. And I remember thinking, oh my goodness, I couldn't believe it. I figured it was in the trash somewhere, and it made me realize just how important this one is. Here's number eight, roll up your sleeves. Sometimes encouragement just means I'm going to roll up my sleeves and get involved. I'm going to just help them out. I'm going to get practical. I'm not going to try to overthink this. Sometimes I just need to just helping somebody mow their yard. If they say, I'm just overwhelmed and life is out of control, and you ride by their house and their grass is knee high, that's a good place to start encouraging. All right? Just whatever we can do to be very practical, just roll up our sleeves. Here's number nine. When you introduce someone, add a few words of praise. When you introduce somebody, just add a little bit of praise on there. This is Tom. He's been building a business for 10 years, and it's going great. He works so hard. Or this is Tom. He's just a man of God. He's been in my life for a long time and been an encourager to me. This is Tom. This is a true friend. Tom, he cares about people. This is Tom. When you get to know Tom, you're going to love him because of dot, 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 dot. Just, it didn't cost you a penny. Didn't cost a penny. To say, this is my friend, and just to say, I want to encourage you. There's something special about public encouragement and public praise. It's one thing to do in private. It's a whole different thing to stand up in front of one or two or three more people and brag on somebody, encourage somebody, add a boy and pat them on the back in front of other people. That's a big one, I think, for all of us. Number 10, if an encouraging thought comes to your mind, say it. Sometimes we think, oh, man, I love the way they did that. Whew, forget it and move on. What if we, instead of moving on, we said, wow, I love how they did that. Let me find who did that and just tell them, just pat them on the back just for a minute. Just to encourage them, just to say thank you for what you did. Just say it. If you don't say it, it ain't so. We got to say this stuff. We got to say it. All right, number 11, learn people's love languages. Now, there's a famous book written by Gary Chapman. It's The Five Love Languages, and it explains that not everybody's emotional needs are met in the same way. So he gives us five ways that we can show appreciation, or we can really learn to speak another person's language. So here are the five. Words of affirmation is one of them. Some people just love it when the other person says to them, you did a great job today. Thank you for just going the extra mile at work. And those words of affirmation just build them up. And it just fills them with courage to do the job even stronger and better the next time. Other people, it's quality time. You can encourage them in the moment with a word, but just to sit down with a cup of coffee speaks their language, just quality time, all right? The next one is receiving gifts. I mean, everybody likes to get a gift, right? That's just fun. But for some of us, it's just the language that we speak. When you say to some people, I took the time and I bought you this gift. It wasn't expensive, but I knew it was specifically for you, something you would appreciate. And I just want to say thank you. Maybe if we can learn these with our husbands and wives and our children and our closest coworkers, it would help us to be even better at showing love and appreciation. Here's the next one, acts of service. Just to say thank you by doing something for them, by serving them, all right? Then the last one is physical touch. When this afternoon, somebody is going to score a touchdown on some team, all right? And when they come off the field, another guy who's physical, who's his language, his love language is physical touch. He's going to run over there and he's going to slap the other guy on the helmet. And some of you are going to be going, you're going to kill him. Quit. Leave him alone. And there he's just saying, I'm just telling him I love him. I'm just going to beat him to death right here on the spot. And he's going to know I love him. All right. It's a hug. All right, it's not sexual, it's just a hug, it's a pat on the back, it's a slap on the helmet, it's just a touch that says, thank you for what you've done. I've been accused of slapping people on the shoulder really hard. I'm not going to pick on anybody on this side of the room, but I've been accused of that before. I've seen people go, just get away from me a little bit. I don't know, I'm working on it. Okay, but we all understand that we receive love in different ways. And here's the 12th one, and we're going to finish this message. Tell people how they've encouraged you. Sometimes the encourager needs to be encouraged. One of my mentors in Christ passed away last week. His name was Gail Barnett. He was about this tall, slender man. I always felt like he looked like Abraham Lincoln. He passed away. He was in his late 80s. And when I heard that he was very, very sick and probably not going to live much longer last week, I started just going through in my head all the things that he had done for me. As a very, very young man, I was the Timothy that he said, let me give you an opportunity. Let me give you some responsibility, but I'm going to give you some encouragement along the way. I want you to know that I appreciate what you've done. I'm watching you. I'm seeing what you're doing. I see the hard work, and it just filled me with courage. To encourage somebody is to just fill them with courage. It's to say, you got this. You can do this. I wasn't able to go to his funeral this week. But next week, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to write his wife. We old school. I called him Brother Barnett and Sister Barnett. This is when you went to church and everybody was a brother and a sister, right? And I'm going to write Sister Barnett a letter and just say, thank you. Thank you. And just be specific, just all the things that was encouraging to me through so many years. I'm becoming the Paul. I'm not the Timothy anymore. Oh, I'd love to be the young guy. Nobody looks at me and goes, man, you're a great young pastor anymore. Nobody says that, all right? So I understand I'm changing roles. But I wasn't always this age. And it really doesn't even matter about age. Because everybody needs somebody to encourage them and lift them up and build them up along the way. Everybody needs somebody. But you say, oh, they don't care what I think. They do care what you think. They do. Oh, but that my opinion doesn't matter to them. It does matter to them. You and I have power in other people's lives. We get to choose how to use that power. Timothy and Epaphroditus were young men who were encouraged along the way and ended up where God wanted them to be. We all need encouragement. Without encouragement, we all become cynical and angry. We all become isolated and fearful. But when we find encouragement, that courage rises up in us. I can do this. I can become what God wants me to be. I can do this thing. I can be the father, the husband, the leader, the worker, whatever it is. I can be that because this person I look up to said I could. Sometimes we don't have enough belief in ourselves. We just have to piggyback off the belief of others. Maybe Timothy and Epaphroditus did some of that when Paul was saying, you got this. You got this. Timothy, I trust you so much, I'm going to send you several hundred miles away. Check on these folks, then you're going to come back over here and tell me how they're doing. I trust you. It's not going to be easy, but I trust you. You got this. I want you to stand with me, everybody. Who is it in your life right now? Who is it in your life right now that needs to be encouraged? Who is it? who needs you to slow down a minute and go, man, you're doing a great job in this area of your life. You're doing a great job in that area of your life. I really appreciate what you do here and there. Who is that in your life right now? Now, it's easy to go negative and go, well, nobody's encouraging me. That's not the question today. The question is, who can I encourage? The Bible says it like this. Whatever you sow, you will reap. I can't wait and reap encouragement before I decide to sow. I got to sow it first. I got to start planting those seeds of encouragement in other people's life, and then God can let that blossom in my life. Who in your life right now needs to be encouraged? Don't blow this moment off, all right? Who is it? Who needs to be encouraged? It won't be hard to figure out. All right. In just a minute, the band's going to come on back and they're going to lead us in this song. And here's what we're going to do while we're singing this song. We're going to worship. I want you to pray for the person you just decided to pray for. The person you just decided to encourage. We're going to pray for them right now. And then we're going to let them know later. I was praying for you this morning. Just wanted to say, I love you. I'm with you. I got your back. Just want to encourage you. If you don't know Jesus this morning, it's got to start there, okay? You got to have a relationship with Jesus. You just say, Lord, I confess my sins. I know that you are God. I put my trust in you. You're the Savior. I know it. I believe in you. I receive you. Start your journey with the Lord this morning. Let God work in your life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you right now for loving us and accepting us. We thank you today, God. We thank you, God. Lord, we just ask you today to, Lord, if there's one person that's online or in the building today who doesn't know you, who has never really committed to you today, I pray, Lord, that you just remind them that your love is chasing them down. Your goodness and your mercy is just chasing them down. Lord, I pray that they would just surrender it to you. Let you be the Lord of their life. Let you be the Savior. And you just draw them close to you today. And Lord, we pray that you bless this time together right now. Lord, the next couple of minutes as we sing this together, we're going to pray for the people that are on our encouragement list. We ask for your will and your help in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing it together, everybody.
And I will rest in your promises. My confidence is your faithfulness. I will rest in your promises. My confidence. Come on, sing that out. I will rest. I will rest in your promises. My confidence is your faithfulness. I will. blessed name, and we believe all your promises are yes and amen. One more time, sing all your promises are yes and amen.
Amen. I want to give you a little bit of homework this week. I want you to, if you have time, make an encouragement list. Who is it in your life that needs your encouragement this week? It might be people at work. It might be somebody God's going to lead you to encourage, even if you don't like them. God might ask you to encourage somebody that you haven't talked to in 6 years. God might ask you to encourage your spouse. God might ask you to encourage your neighbor. You figure it out. You ask God, and through discernment, He'll lead you. He'll guide you. You can't go wrong encouraging somebody. So fill them with courage. Don't let a day go by. We just read it. Encourage each other daily. Daily. It's got to be a lifestyle. It can't be a one-off thing that happens every year. It's got to be every day. We start living a lifestyle of encouragement. Amen. So if you would do that with me, I would really appreciate it. Look around the room. There's a bunch of people right here right now that could use it. All right? Even if they don't know you. Even if they don't know you. You just say, I'm so-and-so. I sit across the aisle from you. I've been stalking you, and I want to encourage you today. All right? Okay. I want to, again, thank Jeremy and Taylor for all their service and everything they pay out. Yeah. I've said this 100 times already. It's a sad day and a happy day at the same time. And I'm happy for what's going on in their life. I'm happy for the future. Sad for us. So we love you guys, and we just appreciate you. Can we encourage you? Yeah, we will this week. We will this week. I don't want to do it. Anyway, I'm going to stop. All right. Take a minute before they leave today, and just let them know how much you appreciate them, how much you love them. Lord, we thank you right now for all you've done. We thank you for all you're going to do. And we pray, Lord, that we would encourage the people in our life, and we would honor you in the process. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's get